He might have missed Peter Cosington and Ernie Marchley anyway, if Baldy Anderson, one of Tree's big farmers, hadn't stopped by the pair's storing shed to chat as they hitched their mules and prepared for the day. The three men listened to his story in grim silence, and when Tim finally stumbled to a halt, telling them his mother was still blind this morning, Square Peter gripped Tim by the upper arms and said, "Count on us, boy. We'll rouse every axe man in town. Those who work the Blossies as well as those who go up the ironwood. There'll be no cutting in the forest today." Anderson said, "And I'll send my boys around to the farmers, to Destry and to the sawmill as well."
"What about the constable?" Slow Ernie asked, a trifle nervously.
Anderson dipped his head, spat between his boots, and wiped his chin with the heel of his hand. "Gone up Tavari's way, I hear. Either looking for poachers or visiting the woman he keeps up there. Makes no difference. Howard Tasley ain't never been worth a fart in a high wind. We'll do the job ourselves and have Kells jugged by the time he comes back."
"With a pair of broken arms if he kicks up rough," Cosington added. "He's never been able to hold his drink or his temper. He was all right when he had Jack Ross to rein him in, but look what it's come to. Nell Ross beaten blind. Big Kells always kept a warm eye for her, and the only one who didn't know it was..."
Anderson hushed him with an elbow, then turned to Tim, bending forward with his hands on his knees, for he was tallish. "'Twas the Covenant man who found your Da's corse?"
"Aye."
"And you saw the body yourself?"
Tim's eyes filled, but his voice was steady enough.
"Aye, so I did."
"On our stake," Slow Ernie said, "to back of one of our stubs, the one where the Pookie set up housekeeping."
"Aye."
"I could kill him just for that," Cosington said, "but we'll bring him in alive if we can. Ernie, you and me'd best ride up there and bring back the, you know, remains before we get in on the search. Baldy, can you get the word around on your own?"
"Aye, we'll gather at the Mercantile. Keep a good eye out along the Ironwood Trail as you go, boys, but my best guess is we'll find the booger in town, laid up drunk."
And more to himself than the others,
"I never believed that dragon story."
"Start behind Giddy's," Slow Ernie said. "He's slept it off there more than once."
"So we will."
Baldy Anderson looked up at the sky.
"I don't care much for this weather, tell you true. It's too warm for wide earth. I hope it don't bring a storm, and I hope to gods it don't bring a stark blast. That'd cap everything. Wouldn't be none of us able to pay the Covenant man when he comes next year. Although if it's true what the boy says, he's turned a bad apple out of the basket and done us a service."
"He didn't do my mama one," Tim thought. "If he hadn't given me that key, and if I hadn't used it, she'd still have her sight."
"Go on home now," Marchley said to Tim.
He spoke kindly, but in a tone that brooked no argument.
"Stop by my house on the way, do ya, and tell my wife this lady's wanted at yours. Widow Smack must need to go home and rest, for she's neither young nor well. Also," he sighed, "tell her they'll be wanted at Stokes' burying parlor later on."